Welcome to the Garden Show. My name's Kitty LaBounty, and my buddy over there on the board is...
Hi, I'm Molly Kabler, and we're here to talk about the top 10 herbs to grow in Southeast Alaska, and particularly this part of Southeast Alaska, outside coastal areas.
That's right. So here we are in outside coastal area, and it's been kind of outside coastal weather lately. We might have wished for a slightly warmer, drier June, but... We have kind of a beautiful coastal weather system going on with us right now, although it looks promising now. So one thing to think about with herbs is a lot of the herbs that you really love to grow, like warm, dry, well-drained sort of soil. So weather and soil. So you think dry. But some of your other herbs, particularly a lot of our perennials, can do okay with our wet, soggy weather and, in fact, kind of enjoy it. And so I kind of think about herbs in these two different categories, basically, which ones like the dry, well-drained, and I try to keep those in separate growing conditions, than I do the ones that like the kind of that enjoy our weather and soil as it is.
Let's talk about those that enjoy the weather and soil as it is, because I think these are the ones that are the easiest and obviously the hardiest. I mean, they're the least fussy. I think the number one is the mints. There are many mints to grow, and really it's all about the taste of them, and remarkably, they actually taste quite different from one another. And so whatever works for you, but there's spearmint, peppermint, and then there's the fuzzy one, which I think gets called either orange mint or peppermint. Orange mint or...
There's lots of them. There's like chocolate mints. There's... Yeah, I'm very plain Jane in terms of what kind of mints I grow.
Mint is mint?
Well, I have spearmint and I have peppermint. And the reason why I have those two is they're the two that grow super well. I don't have to fuss with them at all. In fact, I guess I have to fuss with the peppermint in terms of it will, in fact, take over the garden if I let it. If I stopped harvesting it, it would go everywhere. So that's the kind of plant I like in my mints because I can go pick them. I can pick mint every night to put in my iced tea or my whatever, and it will keep growing.
I think that's the key to mint is that it's if you want something that you can use a lot of it, mint is your number one. I would say you have two other ones that are your number two and three that are really easy. One is chives, mm-hmm. and you'll probably be giving chive plants away if you have chives in your garden. Unless you can stand to throw them away, which many of us can't. But so chives are really easy. The other thing about chives that I think is fantastic, that is the first thing mm-hmm. to eat out of the garden,
They're really there. I was like, maybe my sorrel, but whatever. The chives are really early, and I also like them because they're tasty, but they have these amazing purple flower heads that attract... Nice bees, the bees that don't generally fuss with you at all. And so don't be alarmed if you get a chives and you're all worried because it has all these beautiful purple flowers that's covered with lovely bees. Those bees, unless you squish them, are not going to fight back. So you can have this lovely plant in your garden to nip from, to use constantly throughout the summer. And again, without fussing. So that's the other one. I totally agree on chives and mint. And then I was going to throw parsley in that group.
Well, I do have parsley on my list. I have it more as an annual, though. I mean, you have
right.
to. It is a biennial, but we use it as an annual. You have to replant it
right.
every year.
But it seems like it likes our climate.
It does like our climate, and often it winters over. So you do the first part before it goes to seed
mm-hmm.
in its biennial nature. You usually can have some nice parsley the second
right,
growing
right,
season.
Right, before it starts
yeah.
flowering.
So parsley is a good one. The other thing that's great about parsley, it's very easy to grow from seed. So I usually buy it
mm-hmm.
because I want it right away. I don't
right.
want to wait. But it is, if you're trying to work on the economics,
mm-hmm.
Parsley is easy to grow from seed.
Yeah.
And you can choose. You can get the regular curly type or the flat Italian is really tasty as well.
Yeah, it seems like people have strong opinions about which type of parsley they like the best. My taste buds are not that refined. I think I may have one of each right now. But they do. They'll grow really well. I'll have them in through the fall, usually, if I give them just a little bit of cover. And then I will see them come back up most springs. They're there, and I can pick them real fast before they start setting seed.
So you said the magic words, coming back the next spring. And that's the one for me that is perfect for that, are the oreganos.
Mm-hmm.
In our climate, or at least my garden, the oreganos are really persistent.
Yeah.
And I say oreganos because they're a little bit like the mints. There's a few different ones. Some are called hot. Some are called this. Some are called that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter much. They usually, Greek oregano.
Right.
They get called Greek oregano. Anyway, they're productive. They're tough. They're really easy. And they're the most durable herb year to year in my garden.
I would agree. It's the same in mine. That is the herb I don't have to really fuss with at all, despite the fact it kind of fits into my category of it prefers drier, well-drained. So it is in a spot where the soil is well-drained and it's kind of open. But other than that, that seems to be enough to keep it going. It doesn't require like extra heat, extra warm in the summers, but it does like to be well-drained. But I've had a plant, I'm pretty sure it was Greek oregano when I bought it. Theoretically, it should still be Greek oregano. And it's been growing for about 7 or 8 years, at least. So some of those, once you have them, you've got them. It's great.
There's a couple more that are similar. You think of them as the Mediterranean climate herbs. They do well there, and they do all right here, and that's the thymes.
Mm-hmm.
The thyme is a great culinary herb. The leaves tend to be really tiny, but you still get a lot of flavor for, just a small sprig of thyme. They come and go in my garden,
mm-hmm.
So they're not super perennial. I'll often get a couple of 3 years before I have to go again and get another thyme plant.
Yeah, I bought this beautiful lemon thyme plant this year that I am going to make a big effort to remember to go out and dig it up, bring it into the house this year, because I really want to keep it going. It does not tolerate our wet, especially our wet fall and winter. And the same thing goes with another one I just recently reacquired, and that's French tarragon. They just can't deal with getting soggy and soaked, So those ones, if I want to keep them, I'm going to dig them up, pot them up, bring them into the house.
One other one that's mostly reliable, but occasionally not, and that's sage. And really, there are some beautiful sages. Like I have one I'm considering an ornamental this year. It's the variegated one with the greens and golds. They're really a beautiful plant. And they're perfectly useful for culinary purposes, but they're not nearly as hardy as the plain green ones. So if you want one for culinary purposes, pretty much, and you're hoping it will overwinter, go for the plain Jane, as you described the mints earlier, the plain Jane sage. Every handful of years, mine doesn't make it through the winter and I have to get a new one. But most of the time, it's pretty reliable. And again, you don't need a lot of sage for great flavor in cooking, so that's all right.
Yeah, I have one in a container. A lot of these, though, the ones that I consider that like a little bit drier, like the sage, rosemary, things like that, I'll try and put in a container instead of in the soil bed, and that seems to do better for it as well, because I think it does drain a little bit better. And the soil probably is a little less nutrient rich, honestly, because a lot of these herbs really, most of the ones we've talked about so far, most don't need a lot of oomph in the soil. Fact is, they're just fine without it. But the sage, the other thing to think about is periodically trimming branches back. When it starts getting really woody, just trim some of those back. You don't want to like completely give the thing a giant haircut around here, but do maybe a third.
All right. Another one that a lot of people take in and out or grow in a greenhouse if they can keep it watered is rosemary.
Mm.
And the other thing, I think rosemary is very ornamental. So this year I planted mine. I have it in the lineup with my plants on the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So and the nice thing is then it's there for a pinch also
right.
to put in cooking. But rosemary, well worth buying it to my way of thinking every year, and sometimes it winters over and sometimes not.
Oh, last year I really thought I had it. I had one on the deck in a pot that I harvested a bunch at Christmas for, you know, cooking around Christmas, and I was like, okay, it's going to make it. I know it's going to make it. No, it did not. So I started again. Again, it's worth it. And I've tried a bunch of different rosemaries here that they say they're supposed to be hardy. And it's just not going to quite cut it. And it's probably is because of our kind of cold freeze thaw sort of thing that happens. But it, like you, I think they're beautiful plants, but I'm going to bring it into the house if I want to keep it.
So we've talked mostly about perennial herbs, and we're going to talk about some annual herbs, but this is the Pop-Up Garden Show. And so we're going to take a short break and listen to a couple of announcements. If you're just catching us, you're listening to the Pop-Up Garden Show this Wednesday morning. I'm Molly, and Kitty's in with me. We're talking about the top 10 herbs, and we're fudging a little on the
like
number factor. But nonetheless, these are the ones that we believe really are the most productive and easiest to grow here. And as I said, we talked about the ones we've talked about so far, mostly perennial, multiple years, if not forever. And then there's some really good ones in the annual department. And what annual means is they really only grow one season and we start
seed
them
seed.
Again.
Yeah, so dill is probably one of my favorite annual herbs. I love the smell of the foliage. I'll save the seeds and use those as well. It's a spectacular plant. I think mine has benefited from me starting it indoors and moving it out. I have also planted it direct seeded into the garden, but it seems like it does a little bit better, is a little bit quicker in terms of growing if I do the stepwise transfer or buy starts. You can buy starts of dill usually as well.
I think dill is one to go for seed if you can. I think you're going to get a better product.
They're fragile.
They're fragile, young. And they grow quickly. And so I think they're going to quickly sense that they're in a pot and go to seed, and you're not going to get a really big, friendly dill plant. But I grow mine in the greenhouse, and it doesn't need the warmth, although it likes it. And the reason is that dill plants are a slug magnet.
Yeah.
And if you struggle with slugs, you're going to struggle with dill. So either bring it up onto your deck, be vigilant wherever you're growing it, whatever. And it germinates pretty quickly from seed. So I think it's a good one from seed.
I think so too. No, I totally agree. For some reason for me, and maybe it's just I keep track of the plants better when I start them indoors in pots and then move them. But I do try to stay on it. I don't just like, oh yeah, you hang out here for a while. We skipped one of my favorite perennials. So
uh-oh.
Make a little dip back into lavender.
Okay.
Because lavender isn't one I use for culinary, but I have it. And most of the time, my lavenders make it through the winter. I wouldn't think that they would. I would think that they would be like rosemary, that they're going to bite the dust. But I said for years I had one that lasted for like 15 years.
Was that Munstead Dwarf?
Munstead Dwarf.
See, I learned something.
And then this year I have one. I had to eventually replace that poor thing. And this one made it just fine, even though the rosemary's bit the dust, the lavender. So that's the other perennial herb I would recommend people growing.
The fun thing about lavender, and I didn't have it on my list because, like Kitty, I don't like the flavor of lavender in most things, but I love the scent. It's a total aromatherapy kind of thing for me, and so I like to grow it nearby my door and just, a brush of the hand, and you have that, a little bit of lavender. But there's several of them, and I have three different ones this year growing on my deck, and the leaf patterns, the flowers, they're really different. And so they're really fun. They've got great architecture.
Oh, yeah. They're beautiful plants. So the herb that I love to grow that I have to fuss with the most is basil. And I do like my basil. And I started from seed, although I did bring back a little six-pack of basil plants from Fairbanks. My hand-carried basil just because they were there and they looked beautiful. But it needs warmth, it needs light, it needs good drainage, but it doesn't want to like dry out bone dry.
And it also wants to mold, and it also wants to attract aphids. So
it's such fun stuff.
basil. So it is a great herb to grow because it's you know, we're making it sound fussy, and it's not. It grows pretty quickly, and
it just isn't like our climate.
If you can find the right spot, you're good to go. And I know lots of people that grow basil regularly and harvest and carry on. But don't be fooled. You can't grow it out in your garden. It has to be in a window or in a covered, something it, covered.
Right. I was going to say, because I grow mine outside, but it's not outside in the elements. It has a tent over it of some sort to keep it happy, because I want to monitor the amount of rain that gets on it. But if it's in a completely enclosed plastic thing outside, it will mold. It's kind of gnarly that way. But I do also notice it likes food.
Yeah.
You know, because we're trying to really produce lots of leaves. That's what we're harvesting. So leaves are kind of built on nitrogen, amongst other things. So don't neglect the feeding side. And then the other thing is to pinch it at the top, you know, pinch back to a pair of leaves so it starts branching. And then you'll keep getting more leaves.
So another one that's a little problematic but might well be worth growing is cilantro. Cilantro likes to bolt quickly. And so there is a variety that I thought looked better than others, but I can't remember what it is. Sorry about that. But try some of your different varieties of cilantro if you like it. It's such a great flavor, and it's easy to get it germinated and going, but you really have to be on it and harvest it right away, because it'll quickly go to seed and you'll be like, wait, I missed it. That's what really happens the most with cilantro. I know someone in town this year who decided just to grow it in pots and just to get it to be just very small and then clip it right then. Not even the idea of moving it on. I mean,
right,
like
just
germinate and have it be small and snip it off and then go again. And it germinates quickly and goes fast enough that that's a decent strategy.
I think that probably is a super good strategy for here. I have totally given up on having cilantro growing in my garden, just as a like I would nurture it, because it does, it bolts so fast, it just like gives me a headache. So I like the idea of just starting it, you know, letting it get a couple inches tall and chopping it down. It's almost like you're harvesting sprouts, cilantro sprouts.
Exactly. Yeah, that's if you think about it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one I just kind of wrote off for a while because it drove me nuts.
Yeah.
So I like that
hard
strategy.
To catch it and eat it at the right time. Well, we've already talked about parsley. I had that on my list of annuals because it's not reliably available as a biennial. And then the other one we've talked about over and over is garlic, which is an annual. We plant that every year, even though we plant it in the fall and harvest it more midsummer. But garlic is one of the most, the easiest and toughest herbs to grow. We don't think of it as an herb because it's not a fresh snip. You're actually waiting to harvest that clove. You can eat the garlic greens. You can make garlic green pesto. If your garlic doesn't get big enough to grow a clove, harvest it and eat the green part. You can chop it up and throw it in any stew, soup, stir fry. Really delicious. So you can't go wrong with garlic. There's a couple of things that are surprising about it. They like nutrition. They need good nutrient-rich soil.
Yeah.
And then I think the other thing that happens here is we often don't harvest it in time.
Yeah, it is easy to let it go for too long, and the wrappers start, you know, how you get your cloves and the wrappers are around it, that nice paper coat, paper-ish coating is around it. If you wait too long, that starts to deteriorate, and I try to catch mine before then. I also try to replant the cloves that keep their wrapper on the longest. That's another one of my criteria of like wrapper retention and size of clove is what gets a clove replanted.
Right. So it may be painful, but you want to replant your best heads, your best garlic heads. You separate them into clove by clove to replant, and that will, and then you can carry over and use those, you know, year to year, the same one, and you'll select for the best garlic that grows right in your garden.
Right. And don't neglect to cut those flowering scapes off and make use of them. I guess the last thought before I probably have to get my translator ID here is to make sure you plant your herbs someplace you're going to walk by them and use them, brush up against them, smell them, because otherwise, what's the point? All right. So translators, You are listening to Raven Radio KCAW Sitka with translators K288CZ in Angoon, K296CX in Cake, K211BY in Yakutat, K221EP in Elfin Cove, K220BR in Tenneke Springs, K220CH in Port Alexander, K219BA in Pelican, and K211BG in Sitka. And Raven Radio is funded in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission, and by members like you.
So we appreciate you for being a member. Well, it's coming up on a minute after 9 o'clock in a few seconds here. Thanks so much for joining us this morning on The Garden Show. The Good Day Radio Show is coming up. We've enjoyed our season of pop-up garden shows. We hope to pop up again, although perhaps just a little bit less regularly. If you have a topic you'd like to hear about, please let us know. A couple of our shows were by request, the topics, so we would be delighted to have you let us know what you want.
Great, and thanks so much for listening.